We want to continue our study through 2 Samuel, and so if you turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel, and we're coming this afternoon to look at the first civil war that Israel is involved with. And a lot of times, if we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 2, a lot of times we don't think of Israel being at war with itself until the divided kingdom came about, and then there was issues with the northern kingdom oftentimes joining with some of the southern kingdom's enemies and things happening that way. But the first civil war that occurred was when Saul died, and now we see that David is coming to the throne. The tribe of Judah has anointed David to be their king. But Abner, who was Saul's uncle, has instead anointed Ishbosheth, Saul's living son, to be the king of the northern tribes. And the northern tribes have accepted Ishbosheth as their king. Now, I want you to think about Israel's when he spoke about his sons, and he really gave them blessings and spoke about their characters. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 49, and I'd like you to look at verse 27, 49:27, and then also in 49, we will look at, I want to find verse 8. So we'll look at, first we'll look at Judah. Judah in verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal into the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. And that's a description of Judah. In other words, Judah would be the leader, and also it's a messianic prophecy, too, dealing with the fact that the Messiah would come out of the tribe of Judah, and that he would be the one from which the law would never leave. In other words, he would be the one that the throne. And we know that it would be David's throne that Jesus would eventually sit upon, and that he would come to the throne of David, and that he would rule from the tribe of Judah. And we see that that's already beginning to happen in Second Judges. But I also want you to take a look at Benjamin, because Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And so in verse 27 of chapter 49 of Genesis, Israel gives his blessing to Benjamin. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf in the morning. He shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. And this is, you know, you stop and think, and you think about Benjamin being the youngest of Israel's children, and oftentimes, you know, in my mind, I have this picture of Benjamin, the little boy, the one that's the quiet little one. But no, he's not. It says he's a ravening wolf, and he divides spoil at night. And if you look at what is the character of the tribe of Benjamin, there are two civil wars that occurred in Israel prior to the nation to being divided into the two kingdoms under Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And the civil wars came both with Benjamin at the heart of them. And Benjamin really was the cause of them. We see now that Abner, Saul's uncle, really stirs the pot and causes the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, to unite with him under Saul's house with Ishbosheth as their king. Where Simeon and Judah, because Simeon is part of Judah, their land and inheritance was in Judah, they have anointed David king. And now we're going to see that a war is going to ensue because of this. Now, if you stop and think about it, these are all descendants of Israel. They're all really brothers, if you would, and the descendants of brothers. But let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 2 and begin at verse 12. We'll read a little bit about what we read on Wednesday, but then we'll continue on to the end of the chapter. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And I just want to pause here. Just take a look. Mahanaim is not on this map, but if you look at Jerusalem is here. If you go across the Jordan River, Amman, Jordan, would be right about in here. And Mahanaim is located right here. It's north and west of Jerusalem. And as we're going to see, David established his kingdom down in Hebron, and Hebron is down here. So it's quite a distance between these two cities. The city of Mahanaim is not on this map, and I apologize for that, but it gives you an idea that they weren't close to each other. And Ishbosheth had established his kingdom under Abner, really being the one who was leading it. And so we see that verse 13, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah was David's sister, and so Joab was David's nephew, if you remember. And the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, and one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. Gibeon, Jerusalem is, let me go back here, Jerusalem's here. Gibeon would be right up in here. It's north and a little bit east of Jerusalem. And so they met kind of halfway between Hebron and where Ishbosheth had established his kingdom. And they sat by the pool. And we see what they're going to do is, let's continue reading. And Abner said to Joab, okay, Abner is the one that initiates this. He's the one that initiates this whole plan on how they're going to determine who's the real king. Okay? Now, God has said who is the real king. He said that the crown would be taken from the house of Saul and it would be given to David. And he anointed David under Samuel. The nation of all the nations had heard that David had been anointed by Samuel. How do I know that? Because Saul had heard it. And the people had heard it, and Saul became very jealous, and that was one of the downfalls of Saul. But we see that as David had been anointed to be the king over all of Israel, yet Abner is going against the calling and the will of God upon the life of David. And so Abner's the one that makes this proposal. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now rise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." And then there arose and went over by the number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth and the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught, so we see that each side of this pool are 12 men that are picked from all of the men that are with Abner and all the men that are with Joab. And So these 24 men, 12 from each side, are going to go, and rather than have a battle amongst the two armies, Abner proposes that they just have a fight between these 24 men, the 12 on each side, and the winner takes all. And that's what he basically is proposing. So these guys go together, and it says, verse 15, then there arose and went over a number of 12 from Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth and the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head and thrust the sword in his fellow's side. So they paired off one Benjaminite with one of the tribe of Judah, and they grabbed each other's heads, and they had swords in their hand, and so they stabbed each other with a sword, and the result was not good. Wherefore, that it says, then the fellows sighed, so they fell down together. Wherefore, the place was called Helkath Azarim, which is in Gibeon. And that really means where they fell by the swords. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. Now, we see that the 24 killed each other, the 12 on each side, so all these 24 young men, they all died. So no one was a clear victor. And as they came, they all came with their swords, they grabbed each other, they stabbed each other quickly. It was over in a matter of minutes. But then what happened was Abner started a war. He said, well, that settled nothing, so we're going to go to war. And so they have their armies, which are there already, and there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was light of foot in a wild robe. So these three are the sons of David's sister. They're David's nephews. They are also all three involved in the leadership of David's army, Joab being the captain of his whole army. And Asahel decides that the problem is Abner, and he needs to get rid of Abner. Well, he assessed the problem wrong. The only problem is he didn't have... He wasn't able to accomplish the task. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said unto him, "Turn thee aside to the right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. Abner was really trying to prevent Asahel from having to kill him. Asahel was younger than Abner, probably not as strong as Abner, because Abner would be quite a bit older, being he was the uncle of Saul, but he also be more experienced in warfare than Asahel, who was a relatively young man. Being David's nephew, he at the oldest would be just a few years younger than David, but was still fairly young. Well, he will not stop pursuing Abner. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Herefore should I smite thee to the ground. How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Okay, so Abner is telling him, this is what's going to happen. You continue to follow me, I'm going to kill you. And if I kill you, how will I answer to Joab, your brother, who's the head of the armies of David, and he's going to come after me? Because this isn't going to sit well with him when I kill his younger brother. And I don't want to do it. And really, Abner didn't want to do it because he knew that the wrath of Joab would be upon him, and he didn't want to deal with that. He had enough problems the way it was. He had been defeated soundly in the battle, and he didn't need Joab coming after him personally. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner, with the hinder end of his spear, smote him through the fifth rib, and that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Now, you're probably saying, well, wouldn't the hinder end or the bottom or back end of the spear, wouldn't that be a blunt end? So how did he pierce under his fifth rib all the way through his body? Really piercing, if you count your ribs, the fifth rib is close to the heart. He probably pierced his heart is what he did and killed him pretty much instantly the minute the sword entered and went through his body. Well, they would take their swords and they had sharpened what would be the hinder end or the blunt end. It wouldn't be like a spear head as a spear would be. It wouldn't be as sharp as that. But it would be sharp because what they would do is they would stick their spear in the ground when they came to their places of resting for the night or outside their tent so that they could grab their spear quickly if they needed to get it. It wasn't laying down. It wasn't put elsewhere, but it would be stuck in the ground. It's with that sharp end that he hit Asahel underneath the fifth rib, which would be right about here, and caused his spear to go all the way through him, killing him instantly. It says that everyone that came and stood where Asahel had died stood still. Why? I think a lot of them understood what this meant. This meant that there was going to be real problems between the house of Benjamin and the house of Judah, because Abner had killed Joab's brother. And Abner was the head of all of the northern, or the house of Benjamin's army and the northern tribes. Joab was the head of the tribes of Judah. And then there was the family thing going on as well now. And so it's a big, big problem. Then the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and came one troop and stood on the top of a hill. And so they're standing, if you can imagine this has occurred. If you look at, I'm sorry, I missed verse 24. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come onto the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gia, which, by the way, of the wilderness of Gibeon. And so they're pursuing him, but the night comes, they stop, and they're by this hill. Abner gathers all the army of Benjamin together on top of the hill, and now he's going to call out to Joab and his living brother and talk to them. And Abner called to Joab in verse 26 and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?" Now, I think this is rather interesting. This is really wise counsel from Abner, but Abner's the one that started the whole thing in the first place. He's the one that encouraged the battle to start with. He's the one that said, let's have 12 guys from each side when they killed each other. He's the one that stirred up the armies. But when his army was defeated soundly, and we're going to see that there's a lot of the Benjaminites that were killed and very few of the tribe of Judah that were killed. But now all of a sudden he's saying, how long will you allow blood to go on? Well, part of it is because they're pursuing him to get revenge on him, and because he had killed their brother, and so they're going to try and kill Abner. So this is self-preservation for Abner, but it's also really words that should have been spoken a long time ago. How long are we going to pursue each other? Because we're brethren. We're brothers. We shouldn't be pursuing each other. We've got real enemies at hand, the Philistines, the Ammonites. There was a number of tribes of people around there that were the enemies of Israel. And here Israel is having a civil war amongst itself. So Abner says, I'd like to preserve my life, and so let's not fight amongst the brethren. And Joab said, as God liveth, unless thou hast spoken. Surely then in the morning the people had gone up, every one from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. So Joab listens to Abner and says, okay, enough's enough, we're going to stop. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, passed over the Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim, which is on the west, on the east side of the Jordan. And like I mentioned, that is located up here by Amman, Jordan. Amman, Jordan would be located right in this area. Oops, a little bit down. Right in this area here, and this city would be located right up in here. And so they had their battle back at Gibeon, which would have been north of Jerusalem. Now they walked all night. Now they're back where Ish-bosheth is, got his kingdom. But the servants of David had smitten Benjamin and Abner's men, so that 303 men died. Okay? We see that 360 of the Benjaminites and the others that were with Abner died in that battle. And they took up Eshiel and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night and came to Hebron at the break of day. And so we see that this was the same, just about the same amount of distance between these two. And Hebron, remember, is down here. Now Abner's up here with his men, and Joash is back here. Wednesday night, we're going to be taking a look at the next thing that happens in the intrigue of all this. And it's not going to be done between Abner and Joab yet. And one of the things that I want you to keep in mind is if you want to do a little study before Wednesday night, go back and read in the book of Genesis when the land is given out and given to the tribes. There are certain cities that are called cities of refuge. And what the city of refuge is, we'll be studying that. And one of the cities of refuge, keep in mind, is Hebron. That is a city of refuge. This is going to be extremely important for Wednesday night's lesson. So if you want to go look up and read a little bit about the cities of refuge and what was going to happen in those cities or was to happen in those cities, it has a direct impact on events that are going to occur in the next study. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand that you never desire for brethren to fight amongst brethren. And you had anointed David to be the king. But Abner took it upon himself to anoint Ish-bosheth as king. Even though you said the house of Saul would come to an end, and David's house would rise, and he would be the leader and the king of not only Judah, but all of Israel. And Father, help us to see that your word is the word we should follow and not our emotions and not our thoughts. Nor should we seek to have our glory exalted, nor desire that our purposes be fulfilled. But may we seek to honor and glorify you. How much could have been preserved? 24 young men's lives, 360 men's lives, and plus a handful of those of the tribe of Judah, plus Eshiel, who died because people would not listen to what your will was. Lord, now I pray that you just go with us and help us to do your will and not ours. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to 226.
Beneath the cross of